It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. The show is also available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Behind the board, man who tinkered with the intro of the show, Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, let's keep that until I'm no longer 40. So okay. We got a few more weeks on that. That was nice. Nice surprise.
Or glad early. You liked it. Yes. I was real excited.
For yeah. That. You could tell me beforehand, you know. So I would like you to keep batting 1,000. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And happy Thanksgiving, post Thanksgiving to everybody. Did you have a good Thanksgiving, Kobe?
Good Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A lot of people?
Not a lot of people. Just a couple of mom's side of the family came over from Connersville. It was a small gathering.
It was an intimate dinner.
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Same here. It was just the three of us. We had
the Paltrows.
Yeah, the Paltrows. That's right. Or as some people have thought, why not the Redgraves? Or Redgraves / Richardsons. And I said, I don't know. I'll have to think about that. I can't drink that much, too, if you know the stories of Ralph Richardson, Sir Ralph Richardson, and other members of the family. We won't talk about that. Yesterday's turkey comp, I was here, of course, for a few hours before heading home and watching the Lions lose after giving me such hope with the first half.
No.
Sad. Yeah. It's very, very sad.
Well,
and what am I going to do? Keep rooting for him, because that's all I can do, because... And also, as in the way too much information, I was not really torn because real life football always trumps fantasy football. But I also had New England's defense.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of good that did. So, you know, because you can't ask, oh, they can only score all their points on defense. It doesn't work that way. So, hopefully you all have had a happy Thanksgiving, and hopefully you did not get up early and knock people over for an extra 15%.
I thought about it just to, well, not, I
wouldn't,
I wasn't going to buy anything. I just thought
you were just going to go and
yeah,
be
go
a salmon and go upstream and get in the way of people.
Maybe.
That means definitely. I have to admit, I was at a movie this morning and I left early. I thought I was going to have to, you
was
know.
Was it at a mall?
It was at a mall because that's where most of the movie theaters are nowadays. I wound up heading out to, and of all places, Castleton, because
I was there too.
Were you?
Yep.
Castleton Square Mall?
Uh huh. But I was, again, I wasn't buying anything.
You were just scouting.
I was being a part of the
Black Friday capitalism experience.
Yeah.
And how'd that work out for you?
It's cool. I like it.
Okay.
There's a lot of people everywhere buying stuff.
Didn't take much, huh? Easily mused.
It's neat.
It is neat. Okay. Well, that's lovely. Well, so if you don't feel like knocking people over for the extra 15%, and really, why would you? But there are also a number of movies that opened up on Wednesday for the long Thanksgiving weekend, because you're going to need to get out of the house. You're going to need to get away from the leftovers and all that sort of thing. Yes, sir. You had something to add?
Oh, yeah. Leftovers.
What?
There's a lot of leftovers.
There are a lot of leftovers. I'm enjoying that.
I'm excited for later.
we'll get to that. We will get to those. But there's a number of films that open up on Wednesday, and it's an opportunity to go check this out. Especially, I know, because Wednesday and Thanksgiving, it rained pretty heavily, and that apparently kept some people in because you're afraid you'll melt. But this is the film I saw this morning before coming to the radio station. And no, I did not see Burlesque. Melissa Davis, famed producer and friend, co-worker and friend here, saw it and loved it, as did your folks.
Yep.
Well, that's good for them. But there's something else also opening this week. We'll talk about the other three films, including Love and Other Drugs, which reteams Jake Gyllenhaal with Anne Hathaway. Okay, now granted, they weren't teamed up in Brokeback Mountain, but they were in the same film together, and they're back together on this one. It's set in the 90s, and Gyllenhaal plays a pharmaceutical salesman on the rise who meets somebody who may be the, not the love of his life, but the one-night stand of his moment. And guess what? Things might evolve, but not quite like you think. The film is Love and Other Drugs.
Hey, Lisa.
Her name's not Lisa.
I know, but if every time I say, hey, Lisa, she'll think that I dated a girl who looked just like her. She'll develop this unconscious need to win my approval, and from then on, it's cake.
Damn. Why would you want to be a pharmaceutical rep?
That pays over 100 grand a year, that's why.
Hello, ladies. Hello, gorgeous.
Oh, wait.
Yep, there's another one.
If the patient asks, you're an intern.
Hi.
I'm Dr. Knight.
And who are you?
Jamie Randall, intern.
Well, let's have a look.
You're a crap! You let me take my shirt off!
Wait. Okay, I apologize. Let me take you out for a cup of coffee.
Strong eye contact, implied intimacy. You're good.
What does this mean?
Actually, this is me being nice.
You have beautiful eyes.
That's it? That's the best you got? This isn't about connection for you. This isn't even about sex for you. This is about finding an hour or two of relief from the pain of being you. And that's fine with me because all I want is the exact same thing.
Why don't you have a boyfriend?
Let's just keep it simple.
I can do that.
Hello?
I like hearing the sound of your voice.
You like hearing the sound of her voice? Were you abducted by aliens?
I hear we're coming out with a new sex drug, Viagra. I want it.
This is a revolution.
I've already sold 2,000 prescriptions this month alone.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? It's hard to believe.
You must be swelling
and dry! You're a good man, but you're on the fast track. 600 girls dying to discuss sales techniques. Run. Can't do that with me and holding you back.
She rejected you. That's why you want her.
I need you.
I'm gonna need you more. Beautiful girl. I know, it's so late.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Kobe noticed while watching the trailer, it's definitely a period piece. How do you know it was set in the 90s?
Because they were calling each other on house phones.
There you go, folks. Yes, it's about... and also the fact that there's that new drug, Viagra, that was hitting the market. This was directed by Ed Zwick, who also did... was one of the writers, I think, also credited with this. And it's interesting because his first film, if I remember correctly, as a director, was the romantic comedy About Last Night with Rob Lowe and James Belushi. And since then has been kind of stuck in action film mode. If you remember Glory, Legends of the Fall, Courage Under Fire, The Siege, The Last Samurai, Blood Diamond, and Defiance. So it's interesting, nice for him to come back to a very unconventional romantic comedy with Gyllenhaal and Hathaway. So many other people you recognize voice-wise, maybe Oliver Platt, Judy Greer, Hank Azaria, George Segal, and the now late Joe Clayburgh plays Gyllenhaal's parents. Josh Gad plays the chubby older younger brother, who you heard screaming at the end of the trailer there because he saw naked Anne Hathaway.
Oh.
I know. There's a lot of skin in this film, which we'll get to in a little bit. But this film is a little reminiscent of kind of the male shark alpha male pictures like Up in the Air with George Clooney and Thank You for Smoking with Aaron Eckhart with, you know, these kind of narrow laser beam business guys with one thing on their mind, and as the film goes on, they start to develop a soul, and that's very similar with the Gyllenhaal character. And you know those titles. You've seen those, Covey.
I see that you're smoking. I wanted to see Up in the Air because I like Clooney. But
well, it's still available. Yeah, you can rent it because I don't have it. So you have to go Netflix it. But yes, thank you for smoking. Yes, you. Anytime Covey has actually seen a film I make reference to, that's a good thing. So, what's really fun about the relationship between the Gyllenhaal character and the Hathaway character is they're two fairly. These are people you probably wouldn't want to hang out with a whole heck of a lot, especially the Gyllenhaal character, who's a bit of a sexual predator. In the legal sense of the word, morally, but. But the fact that we've seen so many romantic comedies where we're supposed to like the characters, Kate Hudson and Katherine Heigl,
yeah.
And you know they're absolutely deplorable human beings, and in this one they're kind of deplorable human beings, but you don't mind watching them on this one. Well, and I will say this: Anne Hathaway does not cough in the first reel, but her hands shake in the first reel, and Parkinson's becomes a major plot point as the story goes on. And of course, yeah, it talks about the medical industry as we know it. This was, as you heard, pre Viagra. And then the rise of Viagra and its powers and prowess and money and all that stuff. So, but no, nice grown-up adult, grown-up romantic comedy, not psychotic. Two people that need each other for different ways and for different reasons as the film goes on. So really good performances across the board. And as I alluded to earlier, there's quite a bit of skin from these two young actors. And usually this is something, young actors tend to stay away from, especially if maybe earlier in their career they flashed it and became a Mr. Skin staple, and then they put it in their claws. So, but dare I say, some of that nudity brings a little more realism to the intimacy with the two characters. I'm just saying, let's not forget Katherine Heigl had soap bubbles properly placed over certain areas of her body when in Knocked Up. No, I haven't let that go. And I probably never will. Also, in the shameless plug department, my friends Christopher Lloyd and Joe Shearer at the Film Yap, if you can go to their website, there is a podcast after we saw Faster where we talked about nudity in cinema. So you can go check that out on the website. I won't recreate it for you. Wow, I didn't mean it like that. I'm not going to tell you what I said. Go check it out for yourself. That sounds a lot better. So anyway, nice to see Ed Zwick back in comedy. Good performances by the youngins. Good cast. Although I will say it gets a little gloppy at the end, but not enough to make you roll your eyes. And I'd be intrigued to see the DVD Blu-ray because this was the last film of Jill Clayburgh. And there's only one scene with Clayburgh and George Segal as the parents. I know more footage was shot. There just has to be. So go check this film out.
Yes.
Also new in theaters, and the Soucy family got to see this on Thanksgiving Eve. We brave the rain because we don't melt if we go out in the rain, and we don't leave cakes out in the rain. But it's the new... you don't know MacArthur Park, do you?
No.
That's really okay. I'll share it with you later. Maybe not. But it's the new Disney film, not Pixar, new Disney film, Tangled, which is Disney's version of the Rapunzel story. So we can add Rapunzel to the pantheon of Disney princesses. She also has the voice of Mandy Moore. Not bad. And there's a sidekick, and there's a horse, and there's a guy, and there's a domineering mother. So give it a listen.
They just can't get my nose right. Aha!
Rider!
Enjoy prison! I'll miss the sound of your laughter.
Alone at last.
All right.
listen, I didn't want to have to do this, but you leave me no choice. Here comes the smolder. You coming, Blondie? Let down your help.
All right, Kobe, what did you ask when we were watching the trailer?
How can hair do all that?
You understand this is an animated feature, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah. Next thing you know, you'll be saying, like watching A Bug's Life, how can those ants talk? Because it's animated. So interesting that this is a non-Pixar film. Yes, Disney has their own branch still. Of course, last year they gave us The Princess and the Frog. And it's an enjoyable film. I'm a little intrigued about the trailer for this. I'll have to look and see if there are other ones, but it seems like this one almost seems like the psychotic romantic comedy that I was alluding to earlier in the show, what Love and Other Drugs is not. But it seems like a shut-in, that would be Rapunzel, who finally gets out, and the prince, or I'm sorry, he's not a prince, really, he's a thief named Flynn, who gets so-called tangled into her life and her scenario. See what I did there? I did a pun with the title of the film, which was already a pun in and of itself. But it's not quite like that. I don't know why they marketed it that way to make her. But there is the story of, we get a little background on how Rapunzel got into the tower. We have a woman who poses as her mother. That's Broadway actress Donna Murphy, who does quite a good job. One of the things that's interesting about the film, there's, except for a handful of voices, Ron Perlman, Brad Garrett, Richard Kiel. Nice to see Richard Kiel still doing some work, but most of the voices are pretty unrecognizable, so you're not getting distracted. Some animated films where there are big name stars, maybe because you know their voices really well, will distract sometimes, and that is not the case with this picture. Visually looks very cool. Music wise, not the most memorable in the world, although my daughter, the kids film correspondent, will probably say otherwise, and I wouldn't be surprised if the soundtrack is on her Christmas wish list. And this is, I believe, her introduction to Mandy Moore. And that's really all right.
Yeah,
that's,
it is.
That's not a bad place.
That is just fine.
So, does it need to be seen in 3D? We saw it in 2D on Wednesday. The answer is no. Don't think you don't need to shell the extra bucks. My buddy Lou Harry also said the same thing. Lou also said on AM, the best Disney film in 15 years. I need to check and see what's happened in the last 15 years to see if that's a valid statement or not. So, but no, it's a lot of fun. Will it get a nomination for Best Animated Feature? Maybe, possibly. Although everybody's talking about Toy Story 3, when really they should be talking about How to Train Your Dragon. But we'll get to that when it gets a little closer to award season. So, no, good one for the kids. Go check it out.
Would you say this is unbelievable?
It was unbelievable.
Somebody's been playing in the studio with sound effects.
I had some time.
I obviously, you know what? Next time that happens, I'll let you know. All right. Also in theaters this week. Well, speaking of Disney, it's nice to see Dwayne Johnson not doing a Disney film.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that.
Yeah, because he'd been stuck in Tooth Fairy and Witch Mountain and all those others. But no, he's this time in an R-rated action film called Faster. He's out of jail and he's going to avenge his brother's death, and he's going to kill every single person that wronged him 10 years ago, and nobody's going to stop him. Not even drug addicted cop Billy Bob Thornton, who's 3 days away from retirement from the movie, not the actor himself, although he's a musician now. He's been a musician. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Here's some audio.
Can I help you? Sir!
So what do we got?
We got our shooter. He's
not just fear, that's recognition. He knew him. Turns out some gang ambushed them and killed his brother.
Smile for the camera.
It took me 10 whole years to track down these people for you.
I'm gonna kill them all.
Smile for the camera.
Shootings.
I got a hunch it might be our guy.
They've all got records, armed robbery, rape, assault. Now it seems like he's going after everyone on his list.
I've been expecting you.
Witness has placed the second shooter at the scene. So they had a little shootout in the hall.
Do you think you're done?
There's one more.
He's pure. No fear. No hesitation.
He's fast as you.
He's faster.
I've got you now, mate.
You better be sure, because that's a long, dark road you're headed down. Where are you?
Have not the devil got your heart twisted? The vengeance and hate. The Lord is merciful.
Can you find it in your heart to forgive? I can't.
Okay. You're laughing already. I haven't said anything. You can tell from the tone. Yeah, I know. 2010 will always be remembered for me the year of the ridiculous action film. And there's four examples, one of which is out on DVD this week. And that's The Expendables. You may have Machete, you have Kick-Ass, and you have Red. And what doesn't help this film is that those films already happened. And I think even if Faster had come out before these four films, it wouldn't really help matters much for that picture either. It's directed by George Tillman Jr., who gave us Soul Food, Men of Honor, and Notorious. And while it is good to see, Mr. Johnson not in a kids film, this is a film that could have been a lot more than what it actually turned out to be. Early on, we see labels like Driver, Cop, which is very reminiscent of the Walter Hill film The Driver with Bruce Dern and Ryan O'Neal, and tries to go down that kind of late 60s, early 70s revenge film path, where it counts the days he gets out of jail and how many bodies he's going to, blow away and move on. The problem is that usually, and you heard a little bit, there's one of the people that is on the list has become a man of the cloth. And next, about the last third of the film starts to turn into a story that talks about redemption in action films, and kind of softens the show a little bit. Also, the fact that there's not just Billy Bob Thornton chasing after Dwayne Johnson, and there's a plot point involving the Billy Bob Thornton character that I can see why Thornton took the role, because nobody wants to just do a Tommy Lee Jones impression from The Fugitive and just be chasing. But there's also an English hitman who is out after Dwayne Johnson and his very gorgeous wife, and as much as fun as she was to look at, that plot line as far as the assassin and his girlfriend, now fiance, and what kind of life he wants to do doesn't do a whole hell of a lot for me. And if it's not there, the film's probably 70 minutes long as opposed to the 90, 95 that it actually is. So if it could have been a really hit you over the head morality tale, which it doesn't until the last third, but it also could have been just a straight ahead revenge flick. It was like some of my favorites, like Point Blank, the original Get Carter, and The Limey, the Steven Soderbergh film with Terrence Stamp.
The what?
The Limey? You've not heard of...
No, but Steven Soderbergh.
Steven Soderbergh's one of your guys, haven't seen it?
No.
Well, you might have to borrow that for a segment of What Is Kobe Watching?
I might have to.
So it's one of my favorite revenge films. And I think I'll have to also add Get Carter with Michael Caine and Point Blank with Lee Marvin and add that to the list, your account as well. Not funny films like you want, but
I
want to
watch a funny one after what you put me through,
which we'll get to in a little bit. So in some points, yeah, good for you, Dwayne, you're not The Rock. But on the other point, let's pick better material next time.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
No, it wasn't. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about some titles that came out on DVD and Blu-ray. One I alluded to earlier, another with an Indianapolis connection. And hopefully more people will see it now. And then we have a little bit of a tribute to one actress who is no longer with us, a tribute to an actor who's still with us. And, well, I'm surprised. Not enough people have heard this audio clip, and they really need to. And then, yeah, we'll do an update, a post-fantasy football, what is Kobe watching? You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Show is also available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes. Thanks, Melissa. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. It's just Kobe and me today.
Aren't you glad you had that cue?
Which cue? Oh, the one, yeah, your arm gestures? Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yep. Just Kobe Slagle and myself today. It's the day after Thanksgiving, so apparently that's not a work day for most folks.
Boo!
And I did not say that. Some of us have to be on the air, like Lolly next door, and you and I and whoever's down at television. That's pretty much all of us in the building right now. You know what? It feels like a Saturday. as I'll be picking out material for tomorrow night's Blues House Party.
Out of the box of cool.
Out of the big box of cool. Thank you, Kobe. It's a show box, not a shoe box. Show box. Two different boxes. You don't know what I'm talking about, folks. It's okay. All right. New on DVD and Blu-ray this week is one of the top surprises, I think, in 2010. That I actually enjoyed this film. It is the knuckle-dragging, monosyllabic Sylvester Stallone film, The Expendables. That's right. You heard me. Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Eric Roberts. Oh my gosh. Who else is some, Terry Murphy? Terry Crews. I'm sorry. Terry Crews is in this
Isn't
as
Arnold
well.
In it?
What?
Is Arnold in it?
Yeah. Arnold's got a cameo. Bruce Willis has a cameo. Cause you know, they all had Planet Hollywoods and there was one here for a while and then nobody went to it. But yeah, Sly has a story. Oh, Mickey Rourke. That's right, because Mickey Rourke has more to do in this film than he did in Iron Man 2 earlier this year. And it's a group of mercenaries for hire, and they got a new job. And guess what? Things don't go as they seem, and things aren't as they seem, and, well, things just get a little out of hand.
They are the world's greatest mercenaries. The only life they've ever known is war. The only loyalty they've ever had is to each other.
Drop your guns!
You got the four on the left.
Why don't you take the two on the right and leave the rest?
You're not that fast anymore.
Oh, here we go.
The only thing faster is...
light.
Exactly.
We'll see.
Well, I got three pieces of work. Two a walk in the park, and one to hell and back.
So, we are working for the agency.
I gotta recon this island first.
The only thing you need to know is the job's real, and the money's real. Give this job to my friend here. He loves playing in the jungle, right?
Right.
What's his problem?
Who's under contact?
Follow me, please. People who fight back are killed. Now you have a dying place. Maybe you can help.
I don't think so. How are you going to leave? What's wrong with this picture?
Everything.
We don't have the manpower, the firepower. We'd be dead in the water.
Ray, they got a small army. What do we got? 4.5 men.
That's so funny. You know, it's not easy being your friend.
We will kill this American disease.
I promise myself, I'm gonna die for something counts.
People live through terrible times, but you must believe you can survive.
10 seconds, you won't believe what's gonna happen.
What happened to you?
I got my ass kicked. One push is all you need. Sister's
philosophy. We watch with wounded eyes.
Could've killed me!
You're welcome!
Every one of us is expendable!
Yeah, problem with
that. Yeah, there you go. Subtle.
I was waiting for the stinger line at the end of the trailer, and it happened, and I was happy about that.
Yeah, that's part of what makes this thing amusing. I have to give it the Sly in the last couple of years, because this was a man who was in straight-to-DVD hell for a brief period. And, there was a little bit of desperation, obviously, with Rocky Balboa and with Rambo, you know, just kind of booting up old franchises. And enough people went to see both of those films. No, I got it. You're not playing Stone Cold Steve Austin's music. No, I'm too late. Sorry. Matt, let me get back to my point. Besides the fact this is the week we record the music that's logged on. Anyway. The fact that he had, I remember seeing the posters for this in the spring with all the last names that are on. What's the fighter that's on this?
Randy Couture.
Yeah, he's also in this, and guess what? He beats people up with his fist and guns and things. And this, just the fact that there is not a subtle bone in this film's body at all. Slice directed the film. He also co-wrote it. I mean, everything from exits to entrances to Eric Roberts taking off sunglasses to there's a scene in a church where there's a meeting between Sly and Bruce Willis and Arnold because they all work together. They all had restaurants together, you know, and the church doors open and there's a bright white light coming through and then Schwarzenegger walks in. I mean, it's that as far as not subtle whatsoever. Terry Crews has a gun that blows people in half like a video game. I mean, it makes no bones about it whatsoever. And unlike the films that I remember, The Onion called this the best action film of 1985, and I wish I'd come up with it. Otherwise, why else would I quote it? But unlike the action films of the 80s and 90s, this film knows what it is. It is a monosyllabic knuckle dragging ball of a time. And it's actually kind of fun to watch. And so I guess when you have that many guys that are willing to do this, and apparently, let's not forget, Jean-Claude Van Damme was offered this, but he turned it down because he already had a film that he poked fun at himself. That's a J, it's called JVCD. JCVD. Sorry. That's and that's well worth renting out. Not enough people got to see that. But yeah, Bully for Sly and getting all these guys together and just have a beer drinking, brawling guy film. That's a guy film. It's a man film. It's 40. That's how much of a man film it is. It's Mike Gundy level man film. So let's put it this way. Ladies, you know the romantic comedy or the soppy drama that you dragged your guy, your husband, whatever? He's going to get you back. And he's going to get you back with this film. So go rent it. Why not? It's Thanksgiving. Have leftover. You know what? Have the deep fried turducken leftovers and some local brew from your growler and go watch this. This is a lot of fun.
Now that was a good movie.
Also a good movie that's on DVD and Blu-ray this week and got the Truly Moving Pictures seal of approval. And we had the premiere for this film here in our beloved city of Indianapolis, the Rob Reiner film Flipped, which, of course, follows two kids as they fall in and out of love from their single digits to their early double digits. And it's a period piece set in the 50s and early 60s. Madeline Carroll, who is the girl, if you remember her as Kevin Costner's daughter in Swing Vote. Callum McAuliffe, I hope I'm saying it right, is the boy. Some of the familiar faces, Rebecca De Mornay, Anthony Edwards, John Mahoney, Aidan Quinn, Penelope Ann Miller are all involved in this film as well. And yes, it's from the director of The Bucket List, as the film tells us.
When I first moved into the neighborhood, I felt like I was going to lose my lunch. Being the new kid was the most cruel and unusual punishment ever invented.
Why? You're here!
Hey, where's your girlfriend?
And that was just the beginning. Through the years, my parents hoped I would grow up right and get a good education.
Is that a rooster?
No, it looks like a chicken. How can you tell?
A rooster's a chicken. The question is, are they all hens?
Do roosters strut?
Yes, they do.
Just shoot me now.
Careful what you wish for.
I'm just not so sure I got the education they had in mind.
I need your sharpener.
You've heard of knocking? Hey, what you got there, Dad's Playboy?
None of your business.
Get my best, Miss October.
Get out.
Or should I say your best?
You're disgusting.
Welcome to your Mayfield School Basket Boys Auction.
In school, the only thing I totally flunked out in was understanding girls.
Let's start the bidding at $5.
$15, $20, $25, $50.
My, $50.
Sold. I mean, how can anyone figure out what they're thinking?
Bryce, you should come up here. So beautiful.
And how do you talk to them?
I can't. My dad needs me to help him fix a thing.
What's going on with you and Bryce Lasky?
What do you mean? Nothing.
Oh, okay.
One day
I feel
so happy. But one day, I started getting this really weird feeling. Somewhere between confusion and absolute terror.
There's a bee in your hair.
There's no bee.
Are you freaking Mendel? Julie Baker, you ate her. Oh, that's what's so weird. I don't think I do.
She's quite a girl. Every once in a while, you find someone who's iridescent. And when you do, nothing will ever compare.
One, two, three.
Director Rob Reiner takes you back.
It can be magic.
To the most unforgettable time.
Ew.
Of your life.
Hey, are you flipped? What's the matter with you?
You know, I've been, over the last few weeks, kind of grinding my axe a little bit about Warner Brothers, the studio itself. First, they misrepresent the Clint Eastwood film Hereafter, kind of posing it as a supernatural thriller, which it is not, to say the least. And, of course, last week, the idea, which we knew was going to happen, was splitting up the last Harry Potter book into two films and giving us a film that I thought was a real letdown. Despite what people on Facebook say. And now we have this film, which they didn't really give a push for at all. I mean, it did have the premiere in Indianapolis, and from a city standpoint, and for Heartland Truly Moving Pictures, it was a big boost to have a film like this here. But I would have thought from a filmmaker that made you well over $100 million plus with his last film, The Bucket List, that they would maybe give a little bigger a push for this picture, and they didn't. So I don't know what the problem was. And hopefully more people will check it out on video. It's a sweet film. It might be too, some folks might feel you have to feed it to diabetics when they go into shock. And obviously they're playing off this as a companion piece to Stand By Me, which I still need to watch again because I still think it's a pretty overrated picture. But this one, and I thought it was a smart move for the screenwriters and Rob Reiner to, because the book is set in modern day and they set it back into the 50s. So guess what? You can't text or sext and, you know, you can't use cell phones or anything like that in this one. I did like the points that the major moments happening from the girls and the guys' point of view. Good performances across the board. Again, just a sweet, innocent little film. When you have films like that don't involve bodily gas or getting hit in the nuts in the seat, then we should take advantage and see these films whenever possible, whether you do have a child or not. Someday when you will have a child, you'll understand, as Coach Mike Gundy once said. So yeah, hopefully Better Life on DVD. Go check this out.
Now that was a good movie.
All right, also on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Eat, Pray, Love. That's Julia Roberts traveling the world trying to find happiness, which is really kind of strange since she's Julia Roberts, and therefore that equals happiness for some. Walt Disney has reissued Beauty and the Beast for an ultra super uber duber collection. And wow, the hoax documentary, I'm Still Here, the Casey Affleck, Joaquin Phoenix, yes, we knew it was a hoax all along documentary, is also out on DVD and Blu-ray. Also, there's a really cool collection on the Criterion Blu-ray collection, America Lost and Found, the BBS story. Films involving Bob Rafelson. Some of the films include Head, yes, the film starring the Monkees, Easy Rider, Five Easy Pieces, Drive, He Said, A Safe Place, The Last Picture Show, directed by past guest of Film Sociology, Peter Bogdanovich, and King of Marvin Gardens, which is a film that more people should check out with Jack Nicholson and Bruce Dern. That's all available on Criterion. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and I have to pay tribute to an actress that I enjoyed watching as a kid, and I got to play some Billy Bob Thornton. You're going to enjoy this. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Welcome back to Film Sociology. I'm your host, Matthew Soucy. As I said before the break, because Billy Bob Thornton's in the new film Faster, I got to play for you an interview he did for Canadian radio when his band, the Boxcars, were on tour. Boxcutters, no, you'll hear it. But let's just put it this way. It didn't end well. It didn't start well either. But if anything, Billy Bob should be remembered in his career achievements for this interview.
Well, the sound of Maud Billy is a blending of pop music epitomized by bands like the Byrds and the Monkees, imbued with some good old American hillbilly sensibility. Maud Billy is also the name of the new record by my guests, the Boxmasters. If the name Boxmasters sounds familiar, there may be a couple of reasons why. Firstly, Maud Billy is the Los Angeles-based trio's third album in the last year alone. Yes, this is a band with ambition. Secondly, the Boxmasters' principal songwriter, singer, and drummer is a guy named Billy Bob Thornton, whose other job, some of the time, is Oscar-winning screenwriter, actor, and director. While Billy Bob Thornton's name is most often linked to his cinematic endeavor, Endeavors. The Boxmasters is anything but a diversion from the silver screen. He's always intended to make music, and he just got sidetracked. These days, music is a major priority in his life, and it's something he's obviously embracing. And I'm pleased to have all the members of the Boxmasters, Billy Bob Thornton, J.G. Andrew, Mike Butler, and Danny Baker here in Studio Q. Hello, boys.
Hey, how's it going?
Good to have you here. Three albums in the past year. That seems ambitious.
That's the ones that have been released.
We've recorded about five.
There's more. You guys formed, Billy Bob, you guys formed only in the last couple of years, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
How so?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, when did the band form?
I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, well, when did you guys first start playing together?
We started about 2 years ago. We haven't stopped since we got the ball rolling.
and you've made three records in that time.
We've actually made about five records, and of course, the first one, the Boxmasters and Modbilly, and the one that'll be out later in the year called Bellflower are all double CDs, one disc of all originals, one disc of all covers, and so we've got those, and then we've put out a Christmas record, and then we've got two other ones that we've got mostly done as well. So we'll figure out something to do with those.
And you're currently on tour with Willie Nelson.
And Ray Price. Yeah,
and
so it's a fantastic bill.
Have you done shows before this run with Willie Nelson before?
Yeah, we did a run last November and December for a few weeks with Willie in the States. And it was amazing. It was great. You know.
What do you learn from Willie Nelson, Billy Bob?
I've never met him.
Are you being ironic or are you being serious?
I don't really know him.
You've never met Willie Nelson?
Well, I said hello to him once. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. You guys don't really hang out on tour.
I don't know
what I mean.
No.
Why do I get the impression that you're going to answer with "you don't know what I mean" if I ask you things? So, how is it that you did Willie choose you guys to come on tour with him?
I don't know.
Right. All right. Well, this new record, double record, half original songs, half covers. Tell me about the decision to include an entire record of covers.
Well, early on, we decided that we wanted to pay tribute to the music that's inspired us, growing up and, through our lives. And we we're basically hillbillies that are really influenced by the British invasion. And, we just wanted to take all those influences. And there's so many great songs, through the years that we love that, it's got to pay tribute to them and help reintroduce music history to people, so that people when they hear our version, that maybe they'll go back and listen to the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and Michael Nesmith and Chad and Jeremy and everyone that we loved over the years.
It seems like an interesting fusion at first, Mike, to have old school sort of British first wave 60s music fused with Southern American twang to a certain extent. Did it always seem natural to you?
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that we were influenced by. So, it wasn't calculated. When we got into the studio the first time and did the first batch of songs, it's just the way it came out. It's just the way we sound. We were all sort of similarly influenced by the same kind of artists and same genres. So it just ended up being that way. We recorded a couple of songs and then we sat back and was like, wow, that kind of sounds like British Invasion, mixed with the stuff like Buck Owens and Del Reeves and stuff that we listened to anyway.
And that was true for you, Billy Bob, growing up? It was a sort of a combo of Stones and Monkees and Buck Owens?
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
And you almost became a professional baseball player, right?
I don't know. Maybe.
But you didn't love music when you were a kid?
I subscribed to a magazine called Famous Monsters of Filmland, which the publisher was a guy named Forrest J. Ackerman, who passed away recently.
Do you remember what you were listening to musically when you were a kid?
Well, they had a contest where you could build your own model, and it could be like a King Kong, or it could be anything from something that you created yourself to like one of the monsters that was actually in the in some of the magazines, like it could be Frankenstein all the way to Phantom of the Opera, and they made these plastic models in those days that you could buy and put together. But this was like a thing you could create your own world of it. You know, build telephone poles, make the railroad tracks, and everything. And I actually did enter it once. I didn't win anything, but I gave it a shot. And but it was pretty. It was a big deal for us kids in those days.
Where's the music? Where's the music fit into that?
Music? No, it was a monster magazine.
Right, right. But given that you seem to be quite passionate about music, I was wondering about your.
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
Would I say that he's passionate about music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Would you explain why it's not a hobby?
Would I explain why it's not a hobby? Are you reacting to the fact that I said?
Yeah, I am. I am. Since you're instructed not to talk about shit like that, yeah, I am reacting to that. Yeah.
I wasn't instructed to. I'm not really instructed. You guys are here as a band. You're performing,
The producer is instructed.
Right.
So
but
somewhere along the way.
Because I mentioned that you were an actor and a screenwriter.
First of all, that wasn't supposed to be mentioned either. You know, but
that's just giving context, right? I mean, I'm happy to interview you guys as a band, but for the listeners, we're giving context for who you are. That's part of your trajectory, isn't it?
Not really.
It's not.
No.
You would prefer me to only do this interview not mentioning at all, just to clarify,
that's correct, yes.
At all that you've that's ever correct. Done anything in terms of acting, screenwriting.
That's correct.
Okay, but do you know that people are listening across the country and across North America, and they might think that's odd that I would not mention anything to do with your past?
Well, I think it's odd that you have to smoke inside a white stripe outside.
That's also odd. But that, yeah, but that's a little different. That's a rule and regulation. I'm just trying to do a show and give people context for who you guys are.
Well, there's plenty of context without all that.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, it does occur to me that, the producers told me that you didn't want to, they didn't want to focus on questions around your acting career, et cetera. Right. And I'm cool with that because I'm happy to talk to you as musicians. It does also occur to me though that you're a pretty new band, and one of the reasons why you get attention is because of the career you have.
We're not really new.
You're not?
Well, I've made 8 albums.
I know you've made a lot of them, but how long have the Boxmasters been together for?
I don't know.
A couple of years, maybe. So. Even the greatest bands in the world don't. I mean, part of the attention that you're getting is because of the great career you've had in other ways. What I'm explaining is I'm not trying to be insulting to your musical.
Well, what I'm explaining is we said to not talk about shit like that, and we also said that we didn't want to hear anything about how this is my first love. You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you? I understand music is your first love. Well, my first love was a chick named Lisa Cohn. You know what I mean?
All right. So I think the only reason we would do that is as a point of entry. So for people to. So if do you want to continue this if we talk about music?
That'd be great.
Okay. Well, if we can call a truce, then I can ask you questions about music because I was asking you and you didn't seem to want to answer. But I'm cool to talk about that. So can you talk about your musical influences? Because there is an interesting fusion in this on this record.
Yeah, it's a mixture of the British Invasion with hillbilly music, something that I know more about than, say, a band who's 20 years old that you wouldn't say that to. Yeah, I grew up as pretty much a music historian, so, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, cosmic cowboy music.
Can you think of other bands who've been doing what you guys are doing here? Or
not lately.
Yeah.
Not in the last 30 years, no.
And how do you find, is it difficult? Like, it's interesting, you're opening for Willie Nelson. I'm assuming it's an old, somewhat older country audience. Do different audiences react to you different ways? I mean, there's quite a, it's quite an eclectic double record. You know, you go, you run the gamut from songs that sound sort of country to songs that sound rock and roll.
Well, the good news is that Willie's audience is pretty eclectic. He has everything from bikers to, you know, old people to young people. And so somewhere in there you find, you know, an audience, or at least we do in Europe and the United States. Canadian audiences seem to be very reserved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've heard that before.
You know, we tend to play places where people throw things at each other, and here they just sort of sit there. You know, and it doesn't matter what you say to them.
Even when you're playing, but you're playing theaters as well, right? Is that part
some
of
are
it?
Theaters, some are like stadiums and or whatever they you want to call it. But it's very, well, it's mashed potatoes with no gravy, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, we got some gravy up here as well.
Yeah, you do, actually, yeah. A lot of things.
it might be considered one of our national dishes, actually.
Absolutely, I've seen that in several shops.
Okay, well, listen, why don't you guys going to play a song for us? What were you planning on playing?
The guys are going to do an instrumental version of a song called Turn It Over, which is on this record that we have now.
Okay, you're not going to play?
I'm a drummer.
And you don't have your drums here?
No, we don't cart those around at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. All right, well, how about we... let's hear the instrumental version from the Boxmasters. You guys up for it?
Sure.
Absolutely.
This is the Boxmasters. This is J.D. Andrew, Mike Butler, and Danny Baker. And Billy Bob doesn't have his drums, so he's not going to be performing on this version of the Boxmasters. Billy Bob, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Have a good rest of your tour.
We'll give it a shot.
All right, man. The Boxmasters currently on tour with Willie Nelson, playing tonight and tomorrow night at Toronto's Massey Hall, Montreal this Friday, London on Saturday.
And soon after that, they were kicked off the Canadian tour. So just a reminder, next time you think about Billy Bob Thornton, think about that interview. Still got an Oscar, but yeah. Yeah, and I would say that to Tom Petty. So, all right. Sorry, had to be done. Okay, want to pay tribute and raise a glass to Polish actress Ingrid Pitt. Whose films I should make Kobe watch. This is a woman who appeared in such films as Where Eagles Dare and Wild Geese 2, but she's best known for her top-heavy performances in films like, of course, The Vampire Lovers, Countess Dracula, The House That Dripped Blood, and The Wicker Man. So, well, especially Vampire Lovers. My beloved producer saw a Google image of that and seemed pretty... Yep. Now, is that a scary movie you would watch?
Oh,
it's got
man,
hot vampires in it, and it's not Twilight. I'm just saying. We'll have to work on that, so... We'll add to that in a little bit. Next week, we'll do a little bit more with what is Kobe watching. We'll tell a little bit about, because guess what? My team beat his, and he had to watch Psycho, and it was not as bad as he thought it was going to be. So there, was it? I don't know what you're talking about. Don't answer like Billy Bob.
Where am I?
So anyway, we'll talk about that a little more next week. But now, because it's the holiday season, here's some holiday words to live by. You don't have it ready.
I've got a good pit pulled up here. Hang on.
Oh, my God.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
You wouldn't do that for Tom Petty. All right, everybody, have a good rest of the Thanksgiving weekend. Remember, no gift is worth knocking people over or getting up at 2 in the morning. So
that's true.
It is true. So until next time, go see a good movie. You deserve You deserve it. Wow. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
We gold!